coming up. We're talking to a lot of different people today. We had Tracy Johnson on the phone as we deal with the new realities of the coronavirus, and it affects even us in radio. And I know TV, the TV folks are doing a lot of different things with their reporters and their producers. It's the new reality. And one of the things I wanted to do is bring in my friend Brian Fraley, president of Edge Messaging, kind of talk about another side of this as small companies, large companies try to figure out what to do in the era of coronavirus. Brian joins me on the phone. Hey, Brian.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I am good. Before we get to the professional side, you're a dad. You have two daughters. You have to deal on this with it from a personal level. How are you adapting to the new reality?
Well, I am taking a break for the moment, but I am now the new headmaster of the Fraley Academy for Young Women.
A good instructor, solid base there. That's good.
Yes. Elmbrook is, speaking of prepared, Elmbrook has a virtual learning kind of emergency setup. So the teachers are engaged, but it is requiring, supervision and the work of the parents. So my wife and I are chipping in, as are, tens of thousands of parents all over your listening area right now. It's the new normal, and we will get through this. Our goal is to shield the kids as much as possible from the craziness. Obviously, it's different, but, we didn't take them with us when we went shopping. We didn't want them to see the empty shelves or the kind of lack of social graces that we're seeing in some places. So we're just trying to make things as fun and as good for them as possible. They're not going to remember their lessons in 5 years. They're not going to remember exactly what assignments they did. They're going to remember how, mom and dad handled it and how the family coped. That's what's important for
us. Yeah, parents, just like leaders of companies, have to kind of set the course and calm and reassure, and I think you guys are doing a great job with that. At least it sounds like it. Let's talk about the professional side. I've been following you on social media for a long time, and you talked about this crisis. I think you had six components of how to deal with this. Let's kind of walk through this, maybe an overarching message first, and then how a company, large or small, should go forward in this kind of uncharted territory.
Yeah, we briefed our clients about this, kind of looking ahead. That's what we're supposed to do here at Edge Messaging, right? Strategize and look ahead. So we briefed our clients, I want to say, about March 1st. Get your crisis communications plan dusted off and updated if you need it, because this coronavirus thing is going to escalate more than anyone anticipated. And then we started rolling this out. I said, this is too good to just keep to our clients. This isn't a business proposition only. This is something that everyone should know. And so we started posting this on social media, and there's six components of a plan, but they all center around two things, really: transparency and empathy. Whether you're talking about your clients, your customers, your employees, your vendors, whatever, put yourself in their shoes. And what they really want to know is, what's your plan? What's going on? So we broke it down to six components of every crisis communication plan. And this doesn't just have to do with the virus, but that's obviously what's impressing right now. The first one, don't procrastinate. Have your plan developed and in place. It is never put off tomorrow, and it's not too late. I know we're in the middle of this right now, but build it today. The second is determine the decision-making process you'll follow in the event of a crisis. So have who's the authority to make decisions, who's the authority to say things, who's the authority to communicate with your employees or what have you. The third is train everybody up. That includes informing people in your organization that may not be involved in the crisis communication plan that they are to not say anything, to not muddy the waters, to not make matters worse, even if they think they're helping. Everyone has a role to play, and they need to know what that is. Fourth, decide the best options for communicating internally and externally in a time of crisis. Is it going to be a blast email? Are you going to do a phone tree? Are you going to do automated voice messages? Are you going to leave a message on your incoming voicemail so that when people call, it says, "Hi, this is our new business. These are our new business hours," or "We accept deliveries on Tuesdays only." Whatever it is, figure out how you're going to deliver that message.
Before you get to five and the six, this is where technology, I think, can really play a key role. We were doing some things yesterday here using some of the new team meeting technologies available that are it's just amazing what you can do. It's a new reality. You have to kind of use the technology that's out there.
Yeah, and I think you need belts and suspenders in case things don't work.
That's true, too.
One thing that people aren't prepared for is if they have internet access issues and the only way they're communicating is online. So, yes, I do love the new apps. We do it here. That's how we're communicating with our clients and with our team members here. We're not meeting in person. We're doing everything virtually. The next two ones, I think this next one actually is the most important, and that's don't have your internal and external messaging conflict. Don't say something to your team and then have something different to the public. Your reputation's at stake here, and if you're hiding something or you're trying to downplay something that is a significant problem, the truth is going to get out. If 5-6 months after your crisis, your customers find out that internally you knew there was a problem, but externally you were saying there was nothing, your reputation is shot and you're never going to get it back. The truth is always going to get out.
As you talk to your customers and clients,
don't make matters worse. Yeah.
As you talk to your customers and clients, are they telling you that they've thought about these things before, or is this just so different, so unknown, they have to figure out a new course of action?
Well, it went from theory to practice pretty darn quick, right? It's one thing to have a crisis communication plan in place, and then it's another one to deal with this social distancing. So I don't think anyone was like, hey, we are completely prepared and everything is going according to absolute plan. You have to be able to adapt along the way and kind of roll with things. And the final point, Steve, is just have your public point person ready and prepared. And if they're on vacation or they're unreachable, you have to have that second person ready and prepared. But in general, it's just, you know, chill. Understand that we're all in this together. Empathize with folks. Maybe try a little harder to be more decent. I have a propensity to be very snarky, especially on social media.
I've noticed that, as so do I.
And what I've made a commitment, and I don't know if this was because of Lent or just because my wife was telling me I was being a jerk, but I'm trying to tone down the snark. And I made a commitment that for every snarky thing that I put on social media, I have to force myself to do 10 positive things. And I'm not saying we should be humorless, because we need humor to get through this, right? Prayers, family, humor, maybe a little bourbon. But just try to be, you know, be the best that we can be in the time of crisis. And again, because the kids are watching. You know, the kids are paying attention. They're going to see if we're stressed. They're going to see if we're angry, quick to anger. They're going to see if we're snarkier than normal, flippant. And they're going to model our behavior. So we all pitch in, and this is the Catholic school upbringing, I think. This is all pitch in and be on your best behavior.
We're talking to the president of Edge Messaging, Brian Fraley. I want to ask you, you come from the world of politics as well, and I don't want necessarily to talk about the party aspect of this, but as far as leadership goes, whether it's the state, whether it's the federal government, have you been impressed, disappointed with how things have played out so far?
Oh, a lot better now. I was very concerned last week that some people were looking at this through strictly a partisan lens. You know, it's not this big of a deal. It's a plot to get Trump. You know, Trump's the greatest. No one's ever handled a crisis. It's a little in between. I think the federal government is communicating quite well right now. Regardless of the decisions that are being made, right, taking the what decisions in terms of what to close and everything else out of the loop, I think they're communicating well. And I think on the state level, the Evers administration is now, too. I know that they're meeting with their cabinet constantly, and their cabinet secretaries are talking to their employees and the public on a regular basis. And then locally, I know that Waukesha County Executive Paul Farrell and Jonathan Delagrave down in Racine County have done a phenomenal job talking not only to the public but to their employees as well, and understanding that their employees are in, you know, they're providing a service to the public, but then they're members of the public themselves too. Their kids are home too, and empathizing with that, it's really important. So, yeah, leadership gets tested. True character gets revealed in a time of crisis. And, you know, there'll be time for the political ramifications of all this stuff 6 months down the road, who did well, who did not, and what do you do because of that. Overall, I'm more pleased than not, and it's getting better by the day. That's the concern. right, is you want to change the trajectory. If you were upset with the way the federal government was reacting to this, at least acknowledge that things are getting better.
Yeah, I think that we talk about a test for government. It's a test for the individual as well. I've been all over social media talking about that. It's how we react to these restrictions and how we deal with it. And to that point, you just made a great point about communication. You can be negative. You can be accusatory. You can play politics with it. At the end of the day, that's not going to make your life any easier. These are tough times, uncharted territory, as they said at the beginning of this segment. You got to figure it out, and frankly, you've got to help us get through it.
Yeah, and your constituents don't want excuses, and they don't want to hear you whining about how tough it is or what a bad deal you got, because you have the levers of power to make decisions to make things better. They don't right now. I mean, ultimately, they do because they have the franchise and they can vote in different leadership. But right now, they're relying on you. They voted, whether they voted for you or not, you represent them, and they're relying on you. So they don't want to hear excuses, and they want to hear whining. They want to hear determination, grit. And again, transparency is truth. So be very upfront about the situation, including challenges.
Yes.
You don't complain and you don't whine, but you have to be honest about the challenges that we're all facing, so that if things do take a turn for the worse in certain aspects, it's not like people weren't warned.
Last thing for you, Brian, before I let you go, we're talking to Brian Fraley, president of Edge Messaging. The politics of this, do you expect, I'm going to ask the governor this question in the 10 o'clock hour, that there may be a change in the dates of the Wisconsin election?
There absolutely has to be. It will be a failure of leadership of Governor Evers if he does not delay the April election. There absolutely has to be.
What would it look like?
I don't know. May 12th. Or whatever that day in May when the 7th congressional district is, or move it to June, there absolutely has to be. We don't have the capacity to do wide-scale vote-by-mail and early absentee. I know that people are going to be doing that, and that is a relief that people have, and I know that they're promoting that. But the only reason, the absolutely only reason not to delay the election is politics and having to deal with how, you know, who's going to vote or whatever. That absolutely has to be moved. We're telling people not to congregate. We're closing bars for St. Patrick's Day. We should not be then saying, okay, thousands of people go to Middlebrook Elementary School on the Tuesday in April and stand in line and vote. It absolutely has to move. It's going to move. So it is going to move. It's a matter of, do they make that determination now so people can prepare, or are they going to scramble at the last minute and say, oh, yeah, well, you can't get together at the polling place. He needs to make that decision this week.
I don't know the answer to this. Maybe you do. There are terms that are coming, they're going to expire, like Mayor Barrett's. How do you deal with that reality? Is that a legislative action that has to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. They need to look into that. And, it's not going to be the end of the world if terms are extended 5 weeks.
Always great to talk to you. Brian Fraley, president of Edge Messaging. Thanks for your wisdom, Brian.
Thanks, Steve. Be well.
Yeah, as you and your family. That's Brian Fraley, president of Edge Messaging. Some information about the corporate side of this, how you communicate, how you approach a situation we've never dealt with before. That's why I love bringing Brian on. He's got a lot of wisdom in that area. All right, lots more to get to. Don't forget, Governor Tony Evers will join the program 10:08.